Blog Talk Radio.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Athanasius.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. And between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and with golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the scroll and to open its seals, for thou hast was slain, and by thy blood did ransom men for God from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and has made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. And then moving on to Revelation chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to mingle with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense rose with the prayers of the saints from the hand of the angel before God. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth, and there were peals of thunder, loud noises, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And then Tobit, chapter 11, the angel Raphael discloses his identity, beginning with verse 11. I will not conceal anything from you, I have said. It is good to guard the secret of a king, but gloriously to reveal the works of God. And so when you and your daughter-in-law, Sarah, prayed, I brought a reminder of your prayer before the Holy One. And when you buried the dead, I was likewise present with you. When you did not hesitate to rise and leave your dinner in order to go and lay out the dead, your good deed was not hidden from me, but I was with you. So now God sent me to heal you and your daughter-in-law, Sarah. I am Raphael, one of the seven holy angels who present prayers of the saints and enter into the presence of the glory of the Holy One. They were both alarmed, and they fell upon their faces, for they were afraid. But he said to them, Do not be afraid. You will be safe, but praise God forever. For I did not come as a favor on my part, but by the will of our God. Therefore, praise him forever. All these days I merely appeared to you and did not eat or drink, but you were seeing a vision. And now give thanks to God, for I am ascending to him who sent me. Wow. So we read in the book of Revelation where the angels, the Lamb before the throne, and the saints, their prayers mingled with the incense. And here you have Raphael disclosing himself to Tobit. And as this is happening here, it is also happening for us as we also interceding on behalf of the holy souls in purgatory. And the church triumphant is praying for the church militant, and the church militant prays for the church suffering, the souls in purgatory. And so let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. An act of heroic charity for the souls in purgatory. Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of the poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, that she may set free whatever soul she pleases, according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase in your grace. Amen. And just thinking of this prayer, that the Virgin Mary is queen of heaven and earth. She is queen. And Saint Raphael is present before the Lord. He's one of the angels that we read in Revelation. And he was sent by God to Tobit. What a powerful story. And that he honors and loves the Immaculate Virgin Mary as Jesus. And so, beginning with the memorial prayer for suffering souls in purgatory. Almighty God, Father of goodness and love, have mercy on the poor suffering souls and grant your aid. To my dear parents and ancestors, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To my brothers and sisters and other near relatives, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To my benefactors, spiritual and temporal, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To my former friends and subjects, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To all whom love or duty bids me pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who have suffered disadvantage or harm through me, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who have offended me, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To all those who are especially beloved by you, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those whose release is at hand, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who desire most to be united with you, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who endure the greatest suffering, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those whose release is more remote, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who are least remembered, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who are most deserving on account of their services to the church, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the rich, who now are the most destitute, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the mighty, who now are as lowly servants, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the blind, who now see their folly, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. to the frivolous who spent their time in idleness. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the poor who did not seek the treasures of heaven. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the tepid who devoted little time to prayer. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the indolent who were negligent in performing good works. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those of little faith who neglected the frequent reception of the sacraments. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the habitual sinners who owe their salvation to a miracle of grace. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To parents who fail to watch over their children. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To superiors who were not for the salvation, nurturing for the salvation of those entrusted to them. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the souls of those who strove for hardly anything but riches and pleasures. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the worldly minded who failed to use their wealth and talents in the service of God. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who witnessed the death of others but would not think of their own. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who did not provide for the great journey beyond and the days of tribulation. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those whose judgment is so severe because of the great things entrusted to them. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the popes, rulers, kings, and princes. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the bishops and their counselors. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To my teachers and spiritual advisors. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the deceased priests of this diocese, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To all the priests and religious of the whole Catholic Church, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To the defenders of the Holy Faith, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who died on the battlefield, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who are buried in the sea, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who died of stroke or heart attack, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who died without the last rites of the church, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To those who shall die within the next 24 hours, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. To my own poor soul when I shall to appear before your judgment seat, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, my Jesus, mercy. O Lord, grant eternal rest to all the souls of the faithful departed, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And today is November the 14th, 2022, and it's the feast of Saint Gertrude the Great. And our story begins, village of Helfta, Germany. A little girl, barely 5 years old, entered a Benedictine convent, a community filled with holy cloistered nuns whose whole life was the Lord. They knew and believed that the Lord was as truly present in the Blessed Sacrament as he was in heaven, and so they spent much of their lives on earth adoring him. From this fountain of faith flowed a desire to praise him morning, day, and night, praying the divine office. Gertrude grew in holiness, and when she came of age, she became a bride of Christ. In 1281, 25-year-old Gertrude experienced her first series of visions that would continue until the day she passed away. Her bridegroom, Jesus, appeared to her when she was 26 years old. During Advent, she had been filled with a restlessness and longing to be closer to Jesus. The more she meditated, the more she began to have a disdain for the things of the world. One evening, she was about to retire when our Lord appeared to her as a very handsome young man. He said, "Your salvation is at hand. Why are you so consumed by sorrow?" She had received her first vision. Jesus spoke to her, "I will save and deliver you. Fear not." Our Lord opened his arms wide to embrace her. She tried to approach him, but a hedge made thick with long menacing thorns barred the way, looming between them, separated her from him. As she knew that the hedge and thorns were the times she had sinned and displeased the Lord, she began to weep. The Lord extended his hand, and as if some unseen force had lifted her, she was beside him. He invited her to rest her head on his precious chest. Her eyes went from his pierced heart to his hands and feet, and there before her were his five wounds, bleeding out of love for her and us, the radiant jewels of his sacred wounds. Her visions altered her life, and she saw this moment as her new birth. Our Lord's mandate to Saint Gertrude was to herald devotion to his most sacred heart. She came to us in the 13th century, a time of rampant heresy and glorious victory. The Lord promised that his church, although besieged by persecution, would triumph in the end. We know that Jesus brought about the miracle of the Eucharist at Bethany, to dispel the heresy of Berengarianism in this century. Saint Gertrude tells us that after this she was converted, not that she had been anything but virtuous. She had always been a good student, excellent in Latin, history, and other worldly subjects. But after this, she had eyes only for the Word of God in Holy Scripture and the works of such church fathers as St. Augustine, Gregory, and Bernard. 6 centuries before, in around the year 720, his children were being led astray, innocent lambs being led to the slaughter by some Judas goats. And so God, in his mercy, gave his little ones a miracle of the Eucharist in the form of a human heart. Then, 6 centuries later, he sent a saint to herald devotion to his most sacred heart, to let us know how much he loves us, how we can find refuge and strength in the mercy of his sacred heart. In this book, not about his mercy, God could not have shown more mercy and compassion than to give us an opportunity to be made ready for him by gracing us with purgatory. St. Gertrude lived to love Jesus alone. Pleasing him was her sole objective in life. She sought and found him everywhere, but most especially in the Eucharist. Jesus was consistently in her mind and on her heart. She took to heart his words when our Lord said, "I delight so much in her, I have chosen to dwell in her. All that others see and love in her is my work, and whoever loves my work in her loves me. I have decreed that she stand alone without friends or relatives, that none may love her from ties of relationship, but that I myself may be the sole cause of her being loved and esteemed." Jesus told her, "It is impossible that anyone should not receive all that he has believed and hoped to obtain. It gives me great pleasure when men hope great things from me, and I will always grant them more than they expect." She turned to Jesus as she would to an earthly father, with the complete trust of a child. No petition was too small or too great. On one occasion, when she had lost a needle in a pile of straw, she asked the Lord to find it for her. "It would be in vain that I would search for this needle, and so very much a waste of time. If you would be so kind, find it for me." She turned her head, groped, and one of her hands, and immediately found the needle. Our Lord delighted in her simplicity and innocence, and always rewarded her faith in him with gifts affirming that faith. Jesus gave us miracles of the Eucharist whenever we were in danger of losing our faith. Why? Because he wanted us to know that he is with us, reachable and waiting for us, coming to dwell in us during the ongoing sacrifice of the cross, the sacrifice of the Mass. Jesus told St. Gertrude, stated, "You can find me in no place where I delight more, or which is more suitable for me than in the sacrament of the altar." Amen. This reaffirms a theme that runs through our books on visionaries, mystics, and stigmatists, saints and angels, Mother Mary and miracles of the Eucharist, that no one, nothing is more dear and precious to our Lord than us sharing in the sacrifice of the cross. You will read it, you will read throughout this book how the most powerful arrow that can pierce the loving heart of God the Father, moving him to have mercy on us, is our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection, that ongoing sacrifice of the cross, the sacrifice of the Mass. The sisters were reading the passion when they pronounced the words, "And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." Jesus opened his heart, welcoming her within. The angels began singing, "Alleluia." And the next thing you know, one of the sisters heard the Lord say, "Behold, you are united to me, and to become my own forever. I will present you to my Father by the close embrace of my heart. You can be sure that there was a heavenly court made up of all the souls who had been released from purgatory through her intercession, also awaiting her in heaven with big signs welcoming her home. Her priorities turned away from secular teachings and focuses more on studying scripture and theology. Her life became full with this awakening, and she was an enthusiastic student writing for the spiritual benefit of others. Gertrude once had a vision of the feast of St. John the Evangelist, described in Gertrude's writings, as she rested her head near Jesus' wound on his side. She could hear the beating of his heart. She asked St. John if he too felt the beating of Jesus' divine heart on the night of the Last Supper. He told her he was saving this revelation for a time when the world needed it to rekindle its love. She went on to become one of the great mystics of the 13th century along with St. Melchizedek. She practiced what is known as nuptial mysticism, seeing herself as the bride of Christ. She embraced charity for both rich and poor. She was a simple woman with a deep solidarity with those not yet ready for the beatific vision, who are still being purified in the state of repose known as purgatory. St. Gertrude assisted at the deathbeds and mourned for the loss of both Abbess Gertrude of Heckenborn in 1291 and her beloved St. Metchtalde in 1298. Gertrude's health began to deteriorate, but she continued to only show her love for the Lord. Until the age of 25, I was blind and insane woman, but you, Jesus, deigned to grant me the priceless familiarity of your friendship by opening to me in every way that most noble casket of your divinity, which is your divine heart, and offering me in great abundance all your treasures contained in it. On November 17, 1301, Gertrude passed away a virgin and joined her bridegroom forever. The Herald of Divine Love is composed of five different books. Book two is the core of the work and was written solely by Gertrude. It is a notable piece of writing because it includes detailed descriptions of Gertrude's visions and a veneration of Christ's heart. The other four books are believed to have been composed by other nuns. And so St. Gertrude, she said, every time we look at the Blessed Sacrament, our place in heaven is raised forever. Wow. When Gertrude was 27, she was given the stigmata by God, physical proof that God recognized Gertrude's piety and devotion. The stigmata, which represent the five wounds received by Christ during his crucifixion, were emblazoned on her heart. In May of 1292, Gertrude had her first prophetic experience. In thanksgiving, Christ granted her a vision of all the souls that were released because of a single reception. It was so numerous that Gertrude was left stunned. In another vision, gave her a promise and a promise that each time it is prayed, he would release 1,000 souls from purgatory. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen. Although Gertrude was never formally canonized, Rome approved a liturgical office of prayer and readings in her honor. To separate her from Abbess Gertrude of Heckenborn, Pope Benedict XIV. Pope Benedict XIV gave her the title, the Great, making her the only woman saint to be called the Great. Saint Gertrude the Great is the patroness of the West Indies, and she is often invoked for the souls in purgatory. Her feast day is celebrated on November the 16th, and today is November the 14th. And the church, in honor, remembering the poor souls of purgatory, as we continue our prayer for the poor souls of purgatory. And in so doing, Catholic artist Donna Corey Gibson took the words of St. Gertrude, 1,000 souls, and put it into a song. And so here's Donna Corey Gibson, 1,000 souls, the prayer of St. Gertrude.
Purgatory.
And Saint Gertrude said, every time we look at the Blessed Sacrament, our place in heaven is raised forever. And with that, at the consecration of the Mass, we pray, soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the sight of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Permit me not to be separated from you. From the wicked foe, defend me. At the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to you, that with your saints I may praise you and praise you forever and ever. Amen. And as the priest elevates the Eucharist in consecration, at that moment, I pray, I will lift up the Lord, the King of mercy. I will lift up the King of glory, my Lord and my God, as St. Thomas said, and recall in John chapter 20, verse 28, St. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And as he lifts up the cup, I recall Psalms 116, verse 13. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. And then I would also recall St. Thomas as he acknowledged the Lord's presence. My Lord and my God. And so, and as Catholic artist whose beautiful voice, Catholic artist Donna Corey Gibson, she has the song Anima Christi, which I just shared, and I will end with her song that she put into a song in honor of the Eucharist.
Hear me.
That's Donna Corey Gibson, and she's got a beautiful voice, and she offers that to the Lord.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And with that, and with this prayer for the suffering souls in purgatory, and this is part 10 for the month of November, the church dedicates this prayer for the poor souls in purgatory. But this is daily. This is daily. And 1,000 souls released when you pray that prayer. Make that part of your prayer in your rosary. And so we will end in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go with God. Good day.